His name. Amen. Hallelujah. He's revealed it. Amen. Praise God. Give me that water. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Also, while you're turning there, I forgot to mention the 25th of this month, we will be having a fellowship. My wife has a sign-up sheet out there. And we'll be doing one service, and we'll be coming dressed casually that day. Amen. At 1 o'clock, we'll have service, and then we'll go right down and fellowship. Amen. It'll be a great opportunity to bring guests, people that you want to see God touch and move in their lives. Got an anointed man of God preaching that day. Brother Darren Pritt's going to preach for us. Amen. Excited about hearing from the word of the Lord. God's been dealing in his heart and mine. Amen. Praise God. Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse 2. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon thy children, unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and in it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy sons nor thy daughter, thy manservants nor thy maidservants, nor thy cattle nor thy strangers that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservants, nor his maidservants, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We're going to talk tonight about obeying the Ten Commandments. And I'm going to go for the next couple of weeks talking about the Ten Commandments. In our society, we're looking at where they're wanting to take it down off the courthouses and take it out of the parks and take the Ten Commandments out of society. But I believe that if you can follow these Ten Commandments, you can live for Jesus Christ. It's all wrapped up in these Ten Commandments. You can be well on your way to believing and trusting in the God of our creation. Amen? Praise God. Lord, we pray tonight that your word would open eyes and help us all to see your truth, Lord God, and help us, Lord, to get understanding of these commandments, Lord God. They are for our good, Lord, that we can walk and trust you and live for you and have peace in our lives, God. We want your anointing to touch us tonight. Help us as we learn from your word. In Jesus' name, Amen. God bless you. When the world tries to take things away that God has brought in, you know there's something good about it. You know there's some power in it. If Satan sends all of his forces to tearing down what God has built up. So I believe that we can keep these simple Ten Commandments and walk with God. Amen. If you struggle, here are 10 commands that can secure your walk with God. Amen. So by the help of the Lord, I want to take time for the next couple of Thursdays studying each of these commandments and find out, are we obeying these commands? Are you, am I, obeying the Ten Commandments? So, the Ten Commandments in a short form are, number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Number two, you shall not make idols. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And then number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five, honor your father, your mother. Number six, you shall not murder. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. And number eight, you shall not steal. Number nine, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And number 10, you shall not covet. So let's look tonight at the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. So let's look at this eternal being, God. Anybody know him? The word monotheism, or monotheistic religions, are religions that believe in the existence of one single deity. Mono means one or single. And theos translates to God. Therefore, monotheism is the belief in one God. Christianity, Islam, and Judaism are three of the most popular monotheistic religions in the world. Scholars within these religions have the course of history postulated what God is like. These scholars are called theologians. Theologians are individuals who study God and they seek to understand God's nature. So, in order to describe God's attributes or characteristics, theologians use three important terms. One is omnipotence. And then omniscience and omnipresence. Omni is the Latin root meaning all. And this is important to remember as we move along. Omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. Omnipotence means all powerful. Monotheistic theologians regard God as having supreme power. This means God can do what he wants. He has that supreme power to do exactly what he wants to do at any time. He has all the power in heaven and earth. This means God can do what he wants, and it means he is not subject to physical limitations like man, you and I, are. He is not limited by what the physical limitations that we have, like gravity and just life, breath, you know. God's not limited by any limitations. Being omnipotent, God has power over wind, water, gravity, physics, and all other sorts of things in life. God's power is infinite and limitless. There's no limit to God. No limit to his power. Omniscience means all knowing. God is all knowing in the sense that he is aware of the past. He is aware of the present. He is aware of the future. Nothing takes him by surprise. You don't just slip up on God. You don't just pull the wool over God's eyes. God knows the end from the beginning and all throughout life. He knows every situation. So, his knowledge is total. He knows all that there is to know and all that can be known. There's nothing outside of God. When you think you've gotten the very limits of our schooling that there is out there, there are the limits of our science world, of all the things that man can think of, you've just scratched the surface of God. Maybe even haven't even scratched it. You might have just brushed it. Because God is endless. There's no end to God. Omnipresence means all present. This term means that God is capable of being everywhere at the same time. It means his divine presence encompasses the whole universe. There is no location where he does not inhabit. Whenever you think you're at your lowest, God is there. He is the rock. Amen. He is the bottom. When you're at your lowest, this should not be confused with pantheism, which suggests that God is a synonymous with the universe itself. Instead, omnipresence indicates that God is distinct from the universe, but inhabits the entirety of it. You can't hide from God. I don't know why you'd want to, but you can't hide from him. Amen. God is in this world. Amen. His spirit exists among us right here in this room tonight. Amen. So, he is total entirety of all that we know in our world. Wherever we go, wherever we find our way, we can find God there. His presence exists there. Amen. So he is everywhere at once. He's not limited by space or any force. God is everywhere. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." The very beginning of all things, there was a God. God created what you see when you drive down the road and looking out. God created those things. Amen. When you look up into the heavens at night and you see the moon and the stars and all that, the beauty of the clouds, and God created the universe. Amen. In the beginning, God performed a miracle and created life as we know it here on earth. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 39. "See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." So God is a God that kills and makes alive. This magnificent, all-powerful, all-knowing creator is a God that can kill. And when need be, he can bring you back to life. Isaiah 37:16. "O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth." We know that Israel worshiped the one true God. We find it all throughout the Old Testament. Israel understood that there was one creator. There was one God. Deuteronomy 6:4 says it plainly. They practiced this scripture day in and day out. They rehearsed it daily. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." There's only one God. There's only one creator in all the earth. So it don't take a lot to look through the Old Testament and see that there was only one God represented in the Old Testament. There was only one creator represented throughout the Old Testament writings. No mention of any other beings, but one God. 2 Kings 19:15. "And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, that art, thou art the God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. We can look in David's writings. David understood who God was. David trusted in the one true and living God. Saul believed in one God. Abraham trusted in one God. Moses trusted in one God. Isaac trusted in one God. Amen. All throughout, Daniel would not bow to any other. No other king, no other person that would try to raise himself up and say, worship me. They wouldn't do it. They would rather go to a fiery furnace. A fiery Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego along with him. They'd rather march themselves down there and let them be thrown into a 10 times hotter fiery furnace than to bow to another God that is trying to profess itself to be God, to be worshipped as God, and they would rather die. I pray that our conviction tonight is to that point, to where that we're not going to bow to any other doctrine that believes any other way besides the one and only true and living God. I will burn. I will go to the stake. Amen. Whatever it takes, I will follow the one and true and living God. God went to great lengths to make sure that Israel would not go after any other gods. He would take them and give them plagues and do things to them to get them back on track because of their walking away and trying to follow after other gods. In John 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. God created it. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. When God came into the world, He was a light shining into darkness. And that darkness, His people couldn't comprehend who He was. They couldn't wrap their brain around this man professing to be God. Light was shining. Light was being transposed to them, but they couldn't comprehend it. So in verse 6 it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, John wasn't, but was sent to bear witness of that light, Jesus Christ. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by who? Who him? Jesus. God. The world was made by him. And the world knew him not. The Creator made the world. Jesus Christ made the world. And the world didn't even know him when he was among them. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Who is his own? The Jews. He came as a Jew, born into the lineage of David. Christ, the living God, came to dwell among men. Matthew chapter 1. This is a verse you normally hear on Christmas. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. In other words, they can't remain doing what they always have done. They've got to go out of their sin, because God can't save you out of something while you're still living in it. So he came to save his people from their sin. That's the purpose of him coming, is to get rid of sin so that he could have a relationship with you. He can't do it when there's sin in the way. That's the importance of the blood that he shed. It gets the sin out of the way. It remits it. It removes it, and he don't see it anymore. So then now I can fellowship with you. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. Who is Jesus Christ? God with us. The Creator with us. The omnipotent, omniscient Creator. All-powerful, all-knowing. God with us. Jesus Christ is God manifest in flesh. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And the same chapter that an angel names the son, it's in this same chapter in the book of Matthew, that an angel names the Son of God, Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, is God with us. So by the end of the chapter, Jesus, God, manifest in the flesh, was crucified and had risen from the dead. The living God now. Matthew 28, verse 2. It says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." And go quickly, verse 7, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. In verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. This God-man stands and tells his disciples how to be baptized. I don't know about you, but if I had a friend that told me I'm going to go to a cross and I'm going to die, and I'm going to come again, I'm going to rise again after 3 days, I'm going to rise again, and I'm going to be with you for a short time, and that man, that friend of mine, does it, goes to a cross. I see him from a distance. Because I'm afraid, I see him, and I see him crucify him, and I see him take his last breath, and I see him take him to the tomb and put him in the tomb and seal the tomb. 3 days later, man, a lot of weird stuff happens. The earth starts shaking. All of a sudden, you hear the news. He's alive. Come to see him. And they came, and there he was, nail prints in his hands, the nails in his feet. My goodness, I think I would trust my friend from now on. I would believe every word that he had to say. I would do exactly what that man told me to do. Amen. That would be some amazing facts that you saw right before your eyes. That's what was happening here. These men that were trying to understand the light that had come to them. They were trying to bear witness of the light, but the light was blinding. They just didn't get it all. There was still some skepticism in their mind and in their heart, and then they just wasn't getting the understanding. And then all this took place, this crucifixion and all this, and then he came back alive. Now he's going to talk to him. This risen God. This one that's literally still got a hole in his side where they shoved the spear up his side. Big nail scars in his hands. Whip marks, thorn holes in his head, maybe even still thorns in there, who knows? But this risen Lord is there now, speaking to them and giving them instruction. Matthew 28:16. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus appointed them. And when he saw him, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Well, we just read that all power was given to God in heaven and earth. And then he says in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus was telling his disciples, go baptize in my name. Who is the Father? Jesus. Who is the Son? Jesus. Who is the Holy Ghost? Jesus. All these attributes of God in one man. God, the all omnipresent, all powerful, omniscient God, creator of all the universe and all that is in it, the almighty, all-knowing, powerful, anointed creature, God, was manifest in one being. That little child, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. His name was Jesus. The disciples went on in Acts. They went straight to Jerusalem, just like he commanded them. After he ascended into heaven, they went straight there and waited for the promise of the Holy Ghost to be poured out. And it happened just like God said it would. He said, go into Jerusalem, and I'm going to send you a comforter, the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they waited there, and they received. And then the many onlookers that were there, knowing that they had crucified the Lord of glory, the God of the universe, knowing that they had nailed him to a tree, because Peter just got done preaching, along with the 11, the other disciples. By then they had replaced Judas. And all the other, the rest of the 120 that was in the upper room was among them as he preached Jesus Christ. And they asked of them, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? What do we got to do to get our sins remitted? What do we got to do to change the direction of our life? And his words was repent. Turn around. Change your life. And be baptized. Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Right then, right there. Every one of those disciples should have stood to their feet if they were preaching a wrong doctrine. And said, Peter, that's not what Jesus told us just a few days ago. And they would have. But Peter was preaching exactly what Jesus told him to preach. He knew who the Father was. He knew who the Son was. He knew who the Holy Ghost was, because he was there to receive him that day. So he stood there with all the surety and all the keys of the kingdom that Jesus had given him, and said with great hope and great power, You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You're going to receive the Holy Ghost. It's a promise to you, to your children, and to all that are far off. Amen. They understood there was one God. The light had opened their eyes to see who they believed in. Amen. The Holy Ghost that had come upon them opened their eyes. And they saw the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. The prophet spoke about. Amen. Because it was asked, you know, this is what Joel prophesied about. Remember the prophet Joel? Oh, yeah, yeah. We know Joel, you know. Joel was a great man of God. He was a prophet of God. We trusted in him. Well, remember when he prophesied that God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh? This is that which you now see and hear. My friend, it is vitally important that you know the God of your salvation. There is only one God, and that God has a name, and he declared it in the New Testament when that angel spoke to Joseph and said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." There's no other name that saves. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must. There's no way around the plan of salvation. We must be saved in the saving name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. So we can know that we don't have to serve any other God. Amen? Because we know the name of the living God, the creator of heaven and of earth and all that is in it. He created each and every one of us. He did it so that he could have relationship with you, so that he could have someone that would love him out of your own free will. You have a choice today. You can get up out of here, you can walk out that door, and you can live the way you want to live. Or you can get up out of this place and you can walk out that door and live for Jesus Christ. It's your choice. And God ain't going to do anything to make you do any different. Because he wants you to do it freely. He wants you to do it willingly. He wants you to follow him and know him. Because when you know him, great things you're going to be able to do. You will be like him. Amen. And do great exploits. Greater things than these shall ye do in his name. Amen. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, there's more God to go around. Amen. Jesus was limited as the man walking here on earth because he was only able to be in one place as a man. But as men and women full of his spirit, we are capable of going all around the world to preach the name of Jesus Christ, to lay hands on the sick, see them recovered, to see miracles, signs, and wonders happen. Amen. God, we serve the only one and true and living God. His name is Jesus. Praise God. Let's stand tonight.